since 90 and drained the structure. We have also added another three farms to the operation, making six continuous blocks, which is why we are opposed to the ridiculous Rule 23. This is a grossly unfair rule and should be based on area rather than title. It also adds another cost of compliance onto the rural sector. The recent Swords Initiative has as one of its main objectives ease of doing business. Environment Southland, Southland District and Gore District Councils are very strong supporters of this. It would seem to me that this is contrary to the spirit of this widely embraced initiative. Mary and I raised three children on the property and are both very involved in the community. I spent 15 years, first of all, as local school committee chairman and then as board of trustees chairman for both the primary and the local secondary college whilst our family attended. In 1998, I was elected unopposed to the Southland District Council and have remained in that position for the past 19 years. This allowed my son Chris to take on the day-to-day running of the property and ultimately take over the whole farming operation. During my time as a district councillor, you will appreciate that I've been involved in many district and annual plans and understand how the process works. With all due respect to the Environment Southland councillors, I can categorically state that I, as an elected representative of the ratepayers of this magnificent province, could not have allowed this document to go out the way it has. This plan has some very good and sensible parts to it, and council is to be congratulated on those very good points. However, there are some parts of this plan that show a complete lack of understanding of land management. I repeat, a complete lack of understanding of land management. I believe that the councillors have completely abdicated their responsibilities to the ratepayers by allowing this document to go out in this form. This irresponsible action of putting this plan out in this form has resulted in hundreds of submissions and thousands of hours of work and thousands of dollars of unnecessary expenditure by ratepayers doing the work that council staff should have done properly before the plan went out. There is a tremendous amount of factual information available which council staff have chosen to ignore. Okay, so I've had a swipe at Environment Southland for a very shabby performance and I make no apologies for that. Council could have done a lot better. Council has got it wrong. Now let's get it right. Now we must be positive and move on to get the right outcome for our ratepayers, agriculture and the very important flow-on businesses in this great province. I take it that you have all read my submissions through and I would now like to request at this stage that we could bring on Chris and Michelle carry on in combination with the Dillon Ag submission. Thank you very much for your time and the opportunity to speak.
Thank you for that. Just before you move on, you did at one point make a comment which I heard you saying in your position as a district councillor you wish to address us on a point. I just want to clarify that you're submitting to us today as a farmer and not as a district council representative?
Totally on my own account, yes. Right. Nothing to do with the council.
Okay. Thank you.
But I can't excuse the fact that I am a councillor, and I think for the greater benefit of the province.
Yeah, it's just important to remember which hat we're wearing today. All right, thank you.
Can we please have that other map on?
Good morning all, I'm Chris Dillon. My wife, Michelle, and I are directors of Dillon Ag Limited. We farm 860 hectares at Unlussa on the banks of the Mataro River. The family has been farming in this area for 98 years. We're the fourth generation, and it is our intention to enable future generations the option to continue on farming. To enable this, two major considerations are part of our business decisions, being the environmental and economical effects on the sustainability of our operation. We pride ourselves on being caretakers of the land, a view held by the generations before us, and a value we wish to instill in our children and grandchildren. Our operation is predominantly arable, with over 500 hectares of the property being planted in cereals annually. The balance made up with deer, sheep and dairy grazing. We also operate a silage, baled and cultivation contracting business, providing service to loyal clients around our district. Michelle and I both have tertiary qualifications from Lincoln University. We are both very involved in the local community, with fire brigade, sports clubs and the school. I am on the Matera River Liaison Committee, the FAR Arable Research Group. I represent South and on United Wheat Growers, and I'm on the Southern Federated Farmers Executive, recently elected as the Arable Chair. We have worked closely with Foundation Arable Research in the early stages of consultation of this plan to determine the outputs of our operation. This information was presented to Environment Southland to be used with the economic study, which was unfortunately not completed and made public until after this plan was notified. Now, reading from page 20 of section 42A report, number 2.45, schedule 1 requires a section 32 evaluation to be prepared prior to notification and particular regard given to when decisions to notify the proposed Southland Water and Land Plan was made. This study and resulting impact should have been taken into consideration in the development of the plan. This has been a major area where Environment Southland has let down Southland. A lot of farmers in our district have little respect for Environment Southland due to the way they operate. Farmers made an effort to get involved, to get engaged during the early consultation meetings. However, when the plan was notified, we were disappointed at the apparent lack of consideration for farmer input. Last year's election result in the Eastern Dome Ward spoke clearly of the frustration of farmers and how they had not been listened to, with the overturning of the chair of Environment Southland. Farmers voted clearly for change. A big reason for this was due to the physiographic zones and impending major financial implications on our farming businesses in this area. This plan has distressed farmers. It has affected them both socially and mentally, and not to mention the financial impact of hundreds of working hours lost in putting forward submissions to ensure our industry isn't over-regulated. In 2014, Rochelle and I made the decision to purchase the first of our two properties. One of these properties, which is 200 hectares, falls within the old Matera physiographic zone. It's the one on the far right on that map. We leased this property for 6 years prior to purchasing, so we had a good understanding of its soil types and how to farm these. It is a great concern to us that our land prices have dropped overnight due to the induction of this physiographic zone in the vicinity of 10 to 25%, majorly reducing our equity. Policies 4 to 12 that we've talked to on our submission, the physiographic zones. As you can see on the map, we have 7 physiographic zones on our linked properties. 7.458 of the Section 42A report acknowledges the situation where more than one physiographic zone is located on a landholding could be improved. The physiographic zones are merely a model that have not been ground truth and therefore should sit outside this plan. I acknowledge S42A report has an attempt at saying the physiographs have been peer reviewed. However, the physiographic zones do not account for current nutrient trends measured within the existing surface water and groundwater environments. The physiographic zones are not linked to downstream effects. The physiographic zones lack credibility at greater than paddock level. A Tom Heller report describes the inconsistencies between physiographics and the water quality state and trends. This next point highlights Wendenside's problem. Those who don't know Wendenside, it's the bit with the yellow and moving back that way. The Old Matera physiographic zone is assumed to have little to no groundwater movement. On the 10th of May 2017, Ewan Rodway, Environment Southland's scientist for chemistry and groundwater, and Karen Wilson, Environment Southland's senior science coordinator, met with a group of Wendenside farmers. They told us they are unsure of what groundwater movement was in the area. They agreed consistency of bore depth suggested groundwater was likely to be linked to the Matera River and not the Garvey Aquifer. My question is, how can legislation be forced upon us when the scientists don't know what's going on? This highlights why physiographs need to be outside of the plan. Following winter grazing on our properties, we grow cereal crops to utilise excess nutrients, the results of which have been proven successful in an independent FAR study. These results were given to Environment Southland during early consultation stages of this plan. They have chosen to ignore it. We are already farming to best practice and do not need to be impeded by the time and cost of applying for resource consent and to continue doing what we are already doing well. This past year, Dillon Ag was contracted to do the cultivation, planting and silage harvesting on a property at Wendenside where Environment Southland was undertaking a trial growing green feed behind fodder bed. This was their new initiative from Environment Southland, but replicating something that most people in the district have been doing for years. This shows poor use of resources on Environment Southland's behalf when FAR had already scientifically done the work and presented it to them. On page 56, 3.142 of the section 42A report, it says, catch crops, reducing the risk of nitrate leaching. Then it states, this approach is not widely adopted yet. As above, I stress, every farmer I know on the Wendenside does this and always has. This is a clear indication of how out of touch Environment Southland is in terms of good management practice.
Environment Southland has not listened to farmer feedback during the consultation phase and taken into consideration local knowledge from families that have farmed in the area for generations who know their land better than any risk-based model that is not linked to water quality. Environment Southland released their water quality state and trend analysis a few weeks after the S42A report was published. Statements made in the S42A report did not reflect the findings of the state and trend analysis. This plan is focused almost entirely on rural Southland. Responsibility for water quality is for all Southlanders, and this plan does not address urban pollution. It is widely known that effluent systems in our major towns do not stand up in big weather events, and with no provision for the collection of stormwater, what consideration has been given to how this affects our environment? While I'm more than happy to swim in the river that runs through our property, I would not be happy to do so south of Gore. E. coli in our waterways is a major concern, and it is a fact that ducks defecating in our waterways are a major contributing factor to this problem. How are fish and game managing that to reduce the environmental impact? This plan has no allowances for new technology around cow urine, nitrate inhibitors or other innovations. This is a concern to us in the lead up to limit setting. The National Water Reform and Regional Implementation Paper states that water quality over a 10-year period is showing that most waterways are 80% no trend or improving trend. The report also says that the latest KPMG agribusiness agenda registered concern that regulatory positions have run ahead of the science, warning that New Zealand risked arbitrary outcomes from unsophisticated regulation, a view that we share. Council needs to look at point source of pollution and work to correct it there rather than impose governance on all farmers. Rule 20. Rule 20 is inflicting the highest level of compliance on our region due to one physiographic zone. How will ensuring all farmers apply for resource consent impact the quality of our waterways? What is to be gained from land users requiring resource consent? In our case, this is just adding an expensive layer of unnecessary compliance. We own the land, we have managed it for generations, and now Environment Southland is making decisions that affect the financial viability of our business based on models stripping us of our rights as property owners. Should resource consent be inflicted upon us, policy 9.3 says we strongly discourage granting resource consent for additional dairy farming or intensive winter grazing. Well, who would bother applying when the word is strongly discouraged? What guidelines will Environment Southland give to farmers so they know that the parameters they are providing would make them successful of being awarded a consent? 7.589 of the S42A report says resource consent needed for wintering in the Old Matera Physiographic Zone by 2018. We will be planting our winter feed crops in October this year. This hearing process continues through until September. Your Commission's decision will take some time, therefore how do we plan our winter feed? How will dairy farmers view graziers in our physiographic zone? And what economic impact will this have on business owners in this zone? 7.622 of the S42A recommends increasing the buffer zone for cultivation setback to 5 metres. FAR, the Arable Research Group, have completed a study on arable systems and the appropriate setback is 600 millimetres. Should this ridiculous buffer be included, that would equate to 8.5 hectares of land on our property growing weeds beside drains that are driving to cultivate. Lost income would equate to greater than $20,000 annually. Environmental gain? Zero.
In regards to the use of the term land holding, as Brian said earlier, we farm 6 contiguous blocks. These farms are divided by roads and the Matera River. The owner of each title pays rates appropriate to that land. The rules in relation to grazing areas based on land holdings significantly affect those with larger land holdings, which is incredibly unfair and restricting. A physiographic map clearly proves the wording needs to be changed to title. To conclude, Environment Southland councillors and staff have let down the farmers of Southland by putting this plan out in its current form. It raises a lot more questions than answers and needs a large amount of change before it is something that we can work with to ensure agriculture remains a major part of the Southland economy and to achieve more than holding the line on water quality. Thank you.
Is that the conclusion?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks very much for that. Just before I turn over to the panel for questions, I just note a lot of your address to us was in terms of what I might call background, which is fine. It helps us to understand your concerns, but it's our job to look at the plan provisions, the policies, objectives and rules, and decide if and how they should be amended. So I'm going to ask you to do a bit of homework for us to help us out. Your submission sought quite a few specific changes to the provisions. What I'd like to ask you to do is to maybe annotate a copy of your original submission to indicate to us whether or not the 42A recommendations meet your concern or whether you would still like us to consider further amendments to the plan. Because that's really what our job is to do, is just to say, should this policy XYZ be amended, and if so, what should it say? So it'd really help us if you could take your quite detailed submission, annotate it for us, just handwriting, and tell us, yes, we're happy with the 42A, or no, we'd still like you to consider a further change. Would you be able to do that for us?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And there's no rush on that, because as you said, the hearings are going to go through to September. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, if you could manage to do that within the next few weeks, that would be really good. Okay. And now I'll turn it over to questions from the panel, and we'll start at this end.
Well, I think, Mr. Chairman, no, no questions. I think that's an excellent suggestion that you've made.
Mm-hmm.
Edward?
Oh, yes. Good morning. Just on your last comments around Rule 35 and land holding and title, I presume your property has many titles on. Can you explain how that would work if it was the term title was included? Because that's really just a rating process.
That's one farm there, that's another farm, that's another farm, that's another farm. If they were to do it together, when it came to winter grazing, would be 50 hectares on each property, which would be something we can live with. Simply because you've used landholding and our farms are beside each other.
So if we buy a farm that's not adjoined to that, we can have 50 hectares there, but basically you're impeding people that have grown and bought their neighbouring farms.
We own 50 hectares just off the end of this map here. And under your current rules, we can put that 100% of that into winter crop year after year.
Do you run those blocks separately?
It's all one operation.
But this old Matera up here,
is some of the driest land in Southland, and if you'd seen by the trucks last week that are going, there's a lot of cows wintered in Wendenside because it is dry and suitable for that.
See the green area, can you put on the Wilson Road block? No, down further we don't. Yeah. So this kind of area through here is exceptionally wet, and your plan and physiographic zones would allow us to winter cows on that. Whereas anyone that's farmed in that area, we take all our stock off there in May every year and don't put them back there till September. And that's the issue with the physiographic zones. They don't, you know, it might have been laid, but it's a model, and it's not actually, it doesn't make sense to farmers when we know our land. We don't put stock on there. We'd never winter cows on that ground.
Yeah,
that's
true.
It's our detriment to put cows there.
Those blocks up there that Chris was just pointing out, we've purchased them over the years, and talking to the previous owners, I have worked out there's something like 400,000 tiles in that ground up there. So, as Rochelle said, we look after that ground. There's a lot of money being spent there, and we look after it.
Well, firstly, the point you make about the 50 hectare limit has been well made by other submitters, and a matter we'll be applying our mind to, so we just put that on the table. A comment you made was that the physiographic zoning should be left outside the plan. So in your view, what is the basis upon which land use and environment management should take place on farms if you don't accept the physiographic zone approach?
Good management practice, what we've been doing for all the time that I've been farming there, and what we'll continue to be doing going forward. We just pointed it out that all the stock are taken off this land here in May, and they're all over here where it's suitable for them.
It's difficult because 99% of the farmers are going to manage their land well because they know it, and it's their financial detriment if they don't manage it well. Their stock will be affected, their bottom line. But these rules are imposing that on all farmers that understand their land. You know, I don't know how you deal with the 1% or whatever that don't, but what we're saying is that physiographic zones don't tend to line up with what we see on our property.
Yeah, I'd just like to pick up on your last comment there, because it was my question really. Given your earlier comments, how do you somehow bring compliance of some regard or another to those that do not hold the same values as yourselves? So when, if I can follow the chairman's comments, when you're going through, if there's things in those policies or rules that you've commented on that would actually give us some sort of indication that would help as well, because we actually need to have a last resort at the end, but we actually want to encourage good practice and good environmental practices all over.
There's dairy farms in places that shouldn't be dairy farms in Southland. They've all been consented by Environment Southland over the last 17 years. And yeah, a lot of comments from local farmers, you wouldn't dairy there, and those places that have dairy there have struggled, and most of them have been sold twice or three times. And it comes back to the local knowledge really, but other than, your consenting of the dairy farmers, I can't answer your question. That's one that you were going to have to answer.
All right, I don't have any matters that I wish to clarify with you, but I do look forward to getting that annotated copy of your submission, so thank you for that. Just one comment though, you did mention that you don't think the plan addresses urban areas sufficiently. Just to let you know that territorial authorities have quite a different view. They think the plan's way too harsh on them, and they've requested a whole day of this hearing to let their concerns be known to us. All right, so thank you very much for that. The next submitter, that's the end of this morning's submitters. The next submitter on my list is the Sharp Trust, who are scheduled for this afternoon. Is the Sharp Trust representative here? And then Stout and Thice. Beef and Lamb. Not surprised, it's not scheduled for after lunch. So we now adjourn until 12:45. Thank you. At this stage, we're still hearing from submitters, and the first submitter on my list